Tab. Hey, Jesse. You guys are muted by default. You should be able to unmute yourselves, though.
There we go.
Hey, Tab.
I'm talking. I'm like, are you hearing me?
All right. Well, I don't like the way this is on my computer, so let me see what I can. I'm trying to.
Hey, Jose. I was looking at the request that Jesse sent about having the people out in the lobby area and stuff. And we needed the Zoom webinar version of Zoom. So I looked at it. It's about 2,000, I think, a year.
And I was also looking at there's another option that we may be able to do without getting that module. I can change the average or typical meeting setting to be nobody allowed video. And then every meeting we can make all of the board directors and any staff co-hosts. There's no limit to being a co-host.
Okay.
The co-host can turn their video on by themselves if they want to be seen.
Got you.
That will prevent, say, the public from presenting a video image, and only the board directors and staff that wish to share video would be able to. But I don't know if that would be kind of an acceptable compromise, Jesse, without spending a huge amount on this specific module. And sorry, you're muted again.
Hey, can we unmute the public and mute them?
We can. It's not the problem. I don't know if there's public yet, but the comments from the other members of the board are that because we're all on the same screen together, they're sort of starting to be more like their board members. And it's hard to get through a meeting in a timely manner. They would like them to not be seen on the screen with staff, ex officio, and members of the board. So I don't know how other people do it. Winners doesn't do that, but I think other locations do that. And what I'm trying to do is I just got this second screen, and I'm trying to control what is where, and I don't like it. You're not where I want you to be. There you are. But then
you have it on dual screen support. If you're on a PC, well,
I'm not. I'm on a Mac.
Okay. There is a setting, and you cannot be logged on, so you want to do it after tonight. That allows dual monitor support, and it gives you a lot of other options once you enable it. Or how you want pictures.
And is it through my setup, or is it through Zoom?
It'll be through your setup in Zoom.
Okay.
Right. I believe it's under video settings, and the PC is under video settings. Let me see here. I'll look through here and find it first. Under video settings, general, and then use dual monitors. That's on the PC, though. I don't know where it's at on the Mac.
Yeah, it's kind of all showing up on my big. I'm not sure if I'm going to look at you. I'm trying to put my camera in the right spot.
Oh, right. So when you're looking at the screen, it actually looks like you're looking.
Yeah, right now I'm not looking at the screen, but maybe if I put. Hold on.
And while you guys are working on that, is the agenda and showing on the share screen?
It is for me.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm not sure I like that either. But at least I unplugged my other monitor.
And when you set it up for dual monitors, you'll have to actually close everything. It takes a restart of the software.
Okay. I won't do it tonight.
Yeah.
Now that I've been reading stuff on my big screen, looking at this screen, it's tiny. It's hard to see anything.
For your ease, Jesse, do you want me to make the current agenda screen a little larger type? Let's zoom in a little bit, or is that good on your screen?
If you could zoom in a little bit, that'd be great. And I am muting everything. Nice. Okay, my do not disturb is set on all my devices.
Oh, good reminder. So we've got to silent.
Jose, tonight, do you want to practice and just disable people's videos as they...
I'd rather not spring that on public participants unless Jesse directs us to do so. Okay. I think we can give an advisory that we are planning to do some format changes coming in during the March meeting. That might give them a little bit of time to get used to that idea. But I will take your direction, Jesse, on that. If you want me to turn off your cameras, I can do so.
What I'll do in the beginning when I announce some format changes for this meeting, I'll say that at the end that there will be other format changes in the March meeting.
Okay. I'm going to practice something here.
Hi, Kathy.
I'm going to practice turning off your video, Kathy. Can you try to turn it back on and see if you can do that without my permission?
It says you stopped my video.
And then can you go to the toolbar and try to start it?
I'm trying to find a spot to do that.
If you can find the participants list, there might be the little option in the window.
The camera in the lower left-hand corner, right by the mute. Just stop video.
Well, unfortunately, that's hidden by the host who stopped your video.
Oh, okay. So it looks like it's...
Try that me, Jose.
All right, 1 second.
Okay, hang on. I think I
just asked to start yours again, but I'm going to try...
Okay. I just started mine again.
You want, because I made you a co-host, Chad, so you have
maybe that's
superpowers.
So is mine showing up again now?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I think I sent a message to ask you to turn it on. Did you get a little window?
You did.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, Jesse, we basically do have the ability to freeze participants' videos, and I can make board directors co-hosts at every meeting relatively quickly. So it's an option for you if you prefer. I can go ahead and do that and basically shut the video off as they enter from the waiting room, as well as mute them. But I'll let you direct.
I think we just have enough changes tonight to not really worry about that, but we can try for next time.
Understood.
We can, you know, if anything inappropriate or whatever happens, we can always ban them to kick them out right away.
Okay. Well, they're not inappropriate.
Right. We haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
Don't jinx us, Chad.
Right. I mean, that's what I was thinking.
Jose, you can go ahead and take me off of the camera view. Won't hurt my feelings at all.
Oh, but you can too. You can turn yours off.
Oh, I've got mine turned off, so I can't see me.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Now we don't need to.
Okay, that way there's more room for you guys.
There's Terry. Hi, Terry. You're muted, but I can sort of hear you.
That's because you're hearing it through mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And how are your doggies, Kathy?
All 14 of them are doing very nicely.
Oh my God.
We had a litter of 12 puppies 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
So it's a bit busy.
A bit, yeah.
So Chad is in, what, North Natomas or South Natomas? One of the two Natomas.
Guys, one more time.
North Natomas. I just realized I didn't have my bus up over here.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have my ocean.
But you know what? I'm not at home. I can maybe change my background.
Okay. My only problem with using these two screens without figuring out all the extra stuff is that my mouse just doesn't want to... It's cumbersome to move from screen to screen. But I guess if I do it more, I'll figure it out.
I think I know what you mean. Does it kind of like grab right at the edge of the screen and then you have to shift it again?
Yeah, I got to find it.
Yeah, wait till you have three.
Yeah, that gets fun.
Right?
I'm going to leave the two that are up on the waiting
room. Yeah, I was going to say, we have a couple of people from the public, but we'll leave them in the waiting room until at least another director to get in.
So. And Jesse, just to remind you, after the vote on consent calendar for board member announcements, I know Lucas requested time for the two new CAC people to, you know, reintroduce themselves.
So I thought that that was not Lucas, that it was Don Saylor and Stollard, and I made time for that.
Right, right. They made the nomination, but Lucas made an inquiry.
Well, what I was going to do is have that right after public comment.
Okay.
Before the announcements.
That works.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't forget the newbies.
So I guess we're going to have a quorum of one so far here.
We've got 5 minutes. Director Ledesma is about to be admitted.
Oops. And we need how many? Three?
Correct.
Three of the voting members.
Why am I nodding? You can't see me.
I smile with my mask on.
Well, that's true. You can hear it in your voice when you're smiling on the phone. So,
well, that way you can see it in around the eyes when you smile behind your mask.
Oh, mine just crinkle like that anyway.
Good evening, Director Ledesma, Kyle. In case it wasn't obvious, we have a mute on admin on just to keep everything orderly. So we're just chit-chatting and waiting a few minutes before we get started.
Kristen's here now.
Awesome.
I have to watch Jose while you're clicking that admit. I can hear you click it, but if I click it after you do, it actually rolls the next person down.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm going to be admitting those two others.
Well, I've got it open until the meeting gets started, and then you can watch as people join, because I'll be... Thank you, Chad. Hello, Hope.
Hey.
Hey, you and Chad both have a bus in front of you, Hope. Or behind you, I should say.
I need a bus picture.
We'll get you one.
Okay.
I still got to set mine up where I'm sitting behind the wheel, so I got to take the right angle.
Tomorrow we're going to take the drone out and get some pictures that Terry wants, so maybe we'll get some from up in the air and we'll send them on out and see if you like them that you can put on your backdrop.
Cool.
All right, Matt's here. I was actually thinking of getting a picture of an office that's not my office and having that in my space. I see Top Sellers here.
Good evening, Matt, Tom. You guys are muted by default. Hi. So just in case you're trying to reach out, you guys are muted by default, but we are here. And I'm admitting Dawn now.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Chris. Hey, Don. Hey, Matt.
Hello. Ooh. Don's carrying the whole weight of the county seal on his shoulders.
It's dusted off nicely, though.
But don't get dandruff on it there, Don.
There's Chris.
Hey, Chris. Okay, with a little under a minute to go, I'm going to go ahead and admit members of the public that are in the waiting room. And Chair Loren, that is everybody that was currently in the waiting room. So at 7 o'clock, at your leisure, we can begin.
All right. YCTD staff, please begin the Zoom recording. I call to order the Yolo County Transportation District for February 8, 2021 at 7 o'clock p.m. Will the clerk of the board please take roll call for the board members?
City of Davis. City of West Sacramento.
Here.
City of Winters.
Here.
City of Woodland.
Here.
Yolo County.
Here.
UC Davis.
Here.
Caltrans District 3.
Here.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. There are some format changes tonight that I would like to announce, and I will begin. Tonight's meeting is being held telephonically pursuant to the governor's executive order issued on March 17, 2020. As a reminder to the board and staff, please mute your line when not speaking. All public lines will be muted until a person wishes to provide verbal comment during the public comment period, at which time both written and verbal public comments will be heard, and prior to speaking, board members, staff, and the public are asked to state their last name for the record. Tonight, the board is instructed that roll call votes will be done simultaneously with an aye vote, and that opposed may vote so and identify themselves by last name. We will have public comment for each substantive item. To participate during the meeting, if you're using your computer, press the hand clap icon on the bottom of your screen under reactions. Or if by phone you press *9 to raise your hand, please note each public commenter will be allotted 2 minutes tonight to speak. Once the speaker is done, you will be muted and I will call the next speaker. You can also call attention to your public comment by requesting to be recognized for a comment in the chat feature, as we will also be looking at the chat. Now that the guidelines are set, let's get started. And I would just like to remind you that there will be other changes in the March meeting for formatting, and I look forward to those. All right, tonight we're gonna have consideration for approval of the agenda for March 8th. Are there any directors who wish to pull any items from the agenda tonight?
February.
Seeing none, are there any directors who wish to comment or move items from the consent calendar items 4A through C? Seeing none, I am asking for a combined motion to approve tonight's agenda and the consent calendar. Looking for a motion.
Stallard moves.
Second? Frerichs seconds. All in favor?
A roll call.
By an aye vote, we will not have roll call. We'll only roll call the nays. Roll call of aye. All
aye.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Beautiful. We will move to public comment, and at the end of public comment, I'm hoping for recognition of the new members, Molly and Andrew. So before that, public comment. The board accepts comments from members of the public on items that are not on tonight's meeting agenda. This is also an opportunity for the public to comment on items included on our consent calendar, which do not call separately but consider all at once. You may address us on such matters, and you have 2 minutes. Board clerk, are there any members of the public who would like to provide public comment tonight? I see Mike Barnbaum's hand raised, and the chair will recognize Mike Barnbaum. You have 2 minutes.
Good evening, Chair Lauren and members of the Yolo County Transportation District Board and staff and audience attending virtually tonight. My name is Mike Barnbaum. I just wanted to provide everyone an update of interest. The Regional Transit District Board meeting today was canceled due to lack of agenda items, and the next meeting will be at 5:30 p.m. via YouTube on Monday, February 22nd. Prior to that, the week before, which is next week, on the 17th at 10 a.m., will be the first Capital Corridor Board meeting for calendar year 2021, and the first meeting under chair and leadership of Yolo County Supervisor Don Saylor. For those who are not able to make the Capital Corridor Board meeting on YouTube as it is happening, that's understandable because it is during working hours. Staff at the Capital Corridor do accept electronic comment in advance once the agenda is put out and available on their website. They provide instructions on how to do so, and if people follow them closely, they will read the comments during the YouTube meeting, and audience members that cannot attend directly can always watch it later on the Capital Corridor's YouTube channel. I'm watching the federal rescue plan as it's going through and a possible infrastructure bill, but there's no progress just yet. So as soon as something happens, I'll report on that in the coming months. That is my comments for this evening. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Barnbaum. Are there any other public comments tonight in the public comment period?
No additional requests for comment at this time, Chair Lauren.
And are there any written comments that need to be read into the record? Seeing none, the board welcomes Community Advisory Committee members Molly DiAgostino and Andrew Farillo. And I would love if the members who have brought them in would speak and welcome them. I believe Tom Stollard is first.
Yes, I want to welcome Molly. I've been a Woodland resident for about 4 years. She's a regular commuter on the 42 when she's not sheltering in place and Zooming from home. She's commuted also between Davis and Woodland as well. So she works for the Institute for Transportation Studies, so I suspect that's pretty good credentials for serving on our Transportation Advisory Board. I want to thank the staff at YCTD for helping to facilitate this appointment.
Awesome.
Hi.
Supervisor Saylor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Don Saylor, and I'm happy to introduce Andrew Farillo to the Citizen Advisory Committee for Yolo County Transportation District. And Andy has written a blog post that he created called Freedom of Transit, worked for the United States Government Accounting Office, wrote reports and analyzed information related to transit at a federal level, and wrote articles for the online mobility lab, a transportation demand management focused organization based in Arlington, Virginia. So he is also a frequent writer of our bus system, and has been doing so since he was a fairly young person commuting back and forth to Sacramento from his family's home in Davis for an internship in the Capitol. So Andrew, I think you're probably with us. So welcome aboard, and we're delighted to have both you and Molly join our already robust Community Advisory Committee.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Could we invite both Molly and Andy to say a few words?
Yes. Thank you very much. I would love to invite you to say a few words. Molly?
Sure. Thank you all for having me. Like was stated, I'm a transportation enthusiast. You know, I've really devoted my career to studying and supporting sustainable transportation. So, also really looking forward to seeing some, you know, more innovation at Yolo Bus. So we can think about new ways to meet, rider demand and to increase demand. So, looking forward to it. And, feel free to reach out to me individually and introduce yourself. I'd love to meet everyone as well. So, thank you again for having me.
Welcome aboard. And Andrew?
Hi, I'm Andy Perillo. First, I'd like to just thank Supervisor Saylor for nominating me, and thanks to the board members for approving me to get on the Citizens Advisory Committee. I, as Supervisor Saylor mentioned, I grew up in Yolo County and when I was really little in West Sacramento, and then moved to Davis, and then have been back here for a few different stints. I commuted to an internship at the Capitol for a year, using a combination of the 42 and the 43, and now just this year during the pandemic, moved back here full time. As you mentioned, I've been working at GAO, but this past year during the pandemic, I mean, I just really decided it was a time to get involved in sustainable transportation full time and do everything I could to make it better. So I moved back here to Davis, and again, that's not just like a transition in my professional career, but also just looking for every opportunity just to stand up for riders and make transit and other sustainable options as good as they can be. So to that end, I'm really excited. I mean, I feel like representing riders on this committee is a great way to do that. So I'm really excited and can't wait to work with you all. So thanks so much.
Thank you. Welcome. And I'm sure Lisa Baker's looking forward to working with the new members also. All right.
Madam Chair, just want to mention that Jose and I are working on meeting with them individually to do some orientation, you know, prior to the next CAC meeting.
Awesome. Great. We'll now go to our regular agenda. Item number 5, board member reports, announcements, other nominations, presentations. Do we have any board reports or announcements? All right, seeing none, moving to item 6. Well, item number 6 is a...
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Sorry, trying to get your attention. you're too fast, that's good. So I just wanted to raise a quick item with specifically Yolo Bus Management this evening. You may or may not be aware of this group on social media, but it is the COVID-19 Yolo Community Response group. A number of us are members of that community group on Facebook, but I just want to an issue that was raised about 3 hours ago is that the there are some issues apparently on the Route 215 coming to and from the casino, and there are folks reporting that the buses, I recognize the decrease in frequency due to pandemic and, you know, funding issues and such, but that there are now overcrowding issues happening on that particular bus route, and that folks are sitting, you know, directly next to each other, I assume masked, but sitting directly next to each other with no real social distancing happening. And so just FYI that has been raised on this particular social media group. It is gathering a lot of attention and commentary, and people saying, reach out to the city councils of Esparto and Gwinda and, you know, all these other things. So obviously, you know, not everybody knows the sort of how the local governments are set up, but I just responded a little bit ago saying I would be raising this issue at the Yolo Bus Board meeting this evening, and thanked the person for raising the initial issue. So I'm not suggesting there's any response right now, but I am happy to point you all in the direction. Yolo Bus staff of, again, a number of us are on this already in this group and can see this post, public post, but we should probably maybe look at responding to it. So thanks very much.
And yes, Director Frerichs, I'll be more than glad to work on that. I just want to remind everybody that the reductions in service were based primarily on requests from the the tribe and the casino. And last week we ran reduced service, but we also ran extra trips just in case we had a problem on our hands. Starting this last Saturday, we're down from the 17 previous trips, round trips a day, down to 12. So we're going to be gathering information over the next several days to look at what the actual ridership is without those backup buses being placed in the service. But I've got a feeling this whole issue is going to be coming back frequently to this board.
I would like to thank Director Frericks for bringing up the topic and for also following the YOLO site on social media. It is something that Mr. Bassett and I spoke about earlier, not the social media aspect, but the 215, and it is something that I'm glad that we're addressing tonight. Are there any other director comments or concerns? Seeing none, going to item number six. Item number six is the financial status update and will be presented by Executive Director Bassett.
With a little help from Director Stellar, too, I believe, as we move forward with this. So you have, Madam Chair, members of the board, the agenda item on starting on page 19. I'm sorry.
Yes, it's 19. It says 17 to 21, but it's actually page 19.
So just want to clarify. Okay, so the financial status report is something that we took from our finance director, who's on vacation for the next 3 weeks, but we followed the same format that she used previously. And what it shows is where we're at for half of the fiscal year relative to key revenue sources. Now, if you want more specific information, the financial reports are at the end of the director's report, but this is sort of a quick and dirty summary of where we're at revenue-wise. And if you look at it on page 19, you will notice that Farebox revenue, even with our budget adjustment, we're still anticipating we're down $15,000 from what our revised budget predicted Farebox revenue would be. Likewise, CARES funding, it shows that we're down, but that's really a function of when Janus applies for the CARES money reimbursement, so I wouldn't worry about that so much. If you look at the local transportation fund, you're going to see actual being more than budget for 6 months, and that's because we had certain big upfront costs like liability insurance that we have to pay for at the first month of the fiscal year. So I wanted to mention that. The other two things I wanted to mention on the revenue side is the revenue forecasted from the casino has not been received. They've asked us to submit a separate updated bill, which we will more than gladly do. Again, this is only for half of the fiscal year. The changes that we were referring to for the reduced casino service, they take effect February 1st, so it won't show up in here yet. The other thing I wanted to show was $127,000. I call it in special county CARES money, and thanks to Director Saylor, those funds were made available from the county, and we're basically using that to help offset some of the Cache Creek service expenses. And then lastly, I want to mention that there is a fuel tax rebate, which was not in the adopted budget, but it is an additional revenue source for the district. And if you scroll down a little further, it's a shorter summary for paratransit. Fares aren't all that different than the budget that we adopted, or your board adopted a revised budget. CARES money is not coming in quite as fast, but we're not spending it as quickly either on the paratransit side. And likewise with the local transportation fund, again, the actual is more than budget for 6 months because of the liability insurance issue. And then lastly, I want to mention that the casino revenue for the paratransit, they're not going to be built till the end of the fiscal year. But the 44,000 is what was in the budget for 6 months of this fiscal year. And then if you scroll down further, you're going to see a summary with a projection through the end of the year. We figure we're going to be about $31,000 short on fare box revenue for fixed route and just under $1,000 short for the year for paratransit service. So that's sort of a summary, same format that Janice has provided to your board in the past. Are there any questions?
Are there questions from the board? The chair recognizes Director Ledesma. You're muted, sir.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Good evening, everyone. So, Terry, just on the year-end projection, I know you mentioned, and we have a in your executive director report, you give us an update on sort of the longer projection project, which is targeted for the end of March. But for this year, and I know we're close to budget season, from the CARES Act dollars perspective, I know I'm trying to remember what you originally appropriated or how you budgeted that CARES money on an annual basis, and what's it going to end up year to date? It was a 3-year, you're trying to distribute the money to last over 3 years. Am I right on that?
I don't know if it's going to last quite 3 years or not, but the good news that will.
That's the question I'm trying to see, what kind of get a sense of what will it be?
We think it'll get us at least through 21-22 and perhaps beyond that with the CARES Act money. I don't have that sheet called up. I'd have to shrink down everything, but I can certainly do it if your board's interested.
No, I think I'm not, like I said, I know you're working on other projection exercises, and I'm not trying to add to that. I'm just trying to get a sense of the run rate on those dollars. And then the second thing you mentioned is the rebate that came back to us, which is really kind of a one-time. Is that a one-time dollar allocation?
Correct, Director. Right.
So does it come annually, or is it just this one time it came annually?
Well, it depends on what they do with these credits. So it's basically a 50-cent a gallon rebate, basically, for the CNG fuel that we purchase. And we've been told in the past that the money source is going to dry up, yet each year they seem to continue it and passing on funds to the jurisdictions. So from our perspective, we're assuming it's not going to be repeated in 21-22. But that could change depending on what happens with the federal budget process.
Yeah. Okay. So I appreciate the answer, and I think as we get closer to that March, I'm seeing probably in April, or I'm assuming April, we'll start to see that projection is really getting an understanding of kind of the actual revenue the actual revenue we're getting through normal sources that are what I'm interested in, at least, is seeing the normal revenue sources we have. And through either the city or agency contributions or whatever, versus these sort of one-time and the subsidies coming from the federal government. And while we're not going to look at gift horses in the house when the feds do it again, I know it's on the board, but I'm just I'm just more just sort of eyeballing this as COVID continues and ridership. Just we're a year into it now. And it's still, as you pointed out, the ridership just isn't there yet. So anyway, I appreciate the update.
I do want to make a mention, and I think several of you got an email from Jesse Ortiz, who's now staff for our congressman, that the Transportation Committee has programmed so far $830,150 for Davis, $399,935 for Woodland. And this gets really complicated. Under Sacramento, which includes West Sac, but I don't know how we pull the money out, $117,799,667. So these are additional revenues which will help carry the district forward. But the key thing for us is to make sure that we get Sacramento to play ball with us and to share with the other operators that serve the Sac urban area a piece of that $117 million windfall. That's not adopted yet, but it's part of the reconciliation process that Congress and the Senate are going through.
Are there any other director questions or comments? I believe the chair recognizes Don Saylor.
Thank you. You saw my body language.
Yes, I did.
For a second. So Terry, on that last point, that message from Dr. Ortiz was to ask for input on the materials that are going to the full House committee on behalf of Congressman Garamendi. And one comment is that we should identify the issue you just raised about the way that the funds are allocated by jurisdiction. Rather unusual way of allocating funding, it seems. But I think we should just identify that, work with the director Ledesma, of course, and make sure that we're identifying the issue correctly. But to provide that as input to Dr. Ortiz so that he can help to prepare. I'm sure that on Congresswoman Matsui's staff are probably doing something very similar. So that's why we'd want to make sure we're coordinating with our West Sacramento colleagues. But to get that word in that Yolo Bus serves and West Sacramento is a part of this agency as well. So we'd want to make sure that their needs were covered. And Madam Chair, I have a follow-up comment on Director Frerich's earlier
report. Please continue. Yes.
If this is in order at this point, it's out of order, but Terry, you mentioned on the comments around the bus service to the casino and I think your answer was that it had to do with the interest of the casino operation. That's all well and good, but I think it would be good for us to actually hear or see a report on ridership to understand if the concern that's being expressed by riders about a crowded condition on the bus is accurate based on actual data. And if that is accurate, can we do something to improve safety of distancing and operations? Maybe there's some additional signage or I don't know how extreme the issue is, but I think we should take a look at it given that we're hearing reports from passengers. And maybe we can start by just doing a count of how many riders there are and if that's changed since before the route changes.
Well, we'll be glad to work on that, Director Saylor. Like I said, we only have a week's worth of data, and now we're rolling into week two. But I'm sure this is – the casino did drop a hint that they may look at changing some of their shifts to try to lighten the loads on some of the trips. So they are aware of the issue. Because quite frankly, we're referring complaints by their employees back to the casino, because we figure that's on them, to help us, look at the possible solutions.
Okay. Well, maybe a good place to start is just what's the data show us. Thank you. Thank you, Chair Lauren.
And I would just like to thank you because you bring up, you know, something we've worked on our, priorities and values. are to be data driven. So let's not forget the component of actually looking at the data when we have these conversations. Any other director comments? Otherwise, I would like to open it up for public comment. And I believe Mike Barnbaum has had his hand raised for quite some time.
Yes, Chair Lauren. Thank you.
You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I wanted to ask a follow-up question on this, report before us. Wasn't there another, I don't know if I'd call it a CARES Act, but there was another act signed near the end of December. And we kind of talked about it a little bit last month, and there was going to be perhaps some updated projections brought back this month or next month. Is there anything known as to if there was any revenue from that late December federal act to provide federal revenue to the Yolo County Transportation District, number one. My second question is, did any of the federal acts that I'm referencing, either the CARES Act or this other one, help backfall any lost revenue when the district was not charging fares to riders initially in the early stages and months of the pandemic? And the third thing, it was just a comment that there was mention of the reconciliation bill and what I mentioned earlier that's going through the House and the Senate right now on the American Rescue Plan. And I just want to say, as one of the active participants in this group in Sacramento, I am more than willing to play ball with and help you get what it is that you need and make sure that folks in Sacramento are cooperating with the folks in Yolo County and that folks at Congresswoman Matsui's office and Garamendi's office are working together to make a healthier, greater Sacramento region for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
So yes, through the chair, did you want me to answer any of those questions or move on?
You know, I think that yeah, we could get a little bit of information. And I just wanted to add that I didn't add this in the item number five when it was comments from the directors, but I did attend a Democracy Winners meeting in via Zoom with Congressman Garamendi on Saturday. And I asked Congressman Garamendi what he saw the U.S., the Department of how he saw the U.S. Department of Transportation responding to the urgent financial needs of transportation infrastructure. And he stated that transportation dollars are definitely in the American Rescue Package for transit, for special districts, including money to enhance ventilation and a structure to encourage districts to buy American. He said he just encouraged us to keep an eye on that package. Mr. Bassett, you probably have some comments you'd like to make.
No, you covered it eloquently. I do want to mention regarding Mr. Barnbaum's question about the second round of funding. Woodland and Davis got skunked in that second round. They got $0, and it was based on a formula that they came up with for determining how several billion dollars would be allocated. So the city of Sacramento was told $37.15 million was going their way. And again, we've raised the issue, but they've not responded, that should be split between the operators based on it's called earned share. And that would be a direct benefit to the city of West Sacramento. So I just want to let you know I'm not going to let go of that bone. I want to keep pushing it with Regional Transit to make sure that they're spreading that funding source to all the operators that serve the Sac urban area. That'll be a financial benefit to the city of West Sacramento. Regarding the congressman's other statements, we wholeheartedly support his efforts in trying to get funding for both transportation infrastructure and subsidizing transit.
Thank you, Mr. Bassett. The chair recognizes Director Stoller.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Terry. We're being asked also in this email to indicate how that 399, almost 400,000 would be used. I presume you'll be responding to that email.
Yes, I will, Director Stoller. No,
because we're at markup time. This isn't the done deal yet. And right. I think the congressman wants to indicate that there's a real need that can be met by these funds. Thank you.
I should point out of something like 31 billion, we all think we're doing okay with it, but the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area got over eight billion of that 31 billion.
Yeah, two words, Chuck Schumer. I mean, it's not that.
Yeah, exactly.
A's to know people.
Yeah.
Yep. Any other director comments for this agenda item? All right. Seeing none, we'll move to item number seven. Item 7 is to consider City of Woodland's request to program 500,000 in Woodland Small Urbanized Area Section 5307 FTA funds for 12 concrete bus pads on Gibson Road between County Road 98 and East Street, and will be presented by Mr. Bassett.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. I do want to point out that I've been in communication with Director Stollard and Ken Hyatt, the city manager, as well as a couple of the City of Woodland staff on this. So the recommendation before you has been modified to what it is in the board packet from what the original request was. So the City of Woodland requested $500,000 approximately to be programmed for 12 concrete bus path of travel areas at bus stops along Gibson Road between East Street and County Road 98. In addition to that, I just needed to point out, and it's in the recommendation, there was also a request that we got last fall for another $378,200 to be programmed. I should stress this is Woodland area Section 5307 money, so this relates to the Woodland area only. $378,200 to go towards some bus path of travel pad improvements along East Main Street, which quite frankly my staff and I are more interested in because of the wear and tear that our buses have caused to that area. Both Gibson and East Main Street are undergoing a bidding process for, or actually Gibson has already been awarded for various roadway improvements, and the transit part was something that the city staff asked us to consider adding to it. So Gibson's being rebuilt with or without these pads at a cost of something like, as I recall, $14 million, and the request is for $500,000 to do those 12 concrete pads. We're at the staff level recommending $180,000 to go towards four of those 12 concrete pads. And in addition, the money that I mentioned for the Woodland Main, East Main Street improvements be programmed and applied for also. So at the end of the day, we're talking $558,200 worth of projects. So we went from $500,000 for the Gibson Road improvements down to $180,000. So the city showed a lot of receptivity to to moving it to the lower number. And we're not against projects for Woodland. Our concern is there's a whole host of projects that we could potentially spend the money on. And at our level, we didn't think there was enough activity on Gibson to justify, you know, $40,000 or $50,000 per bus stop concrete pad. There just isn't as much bus and passenger activity on Gibson, and nowhere in the rest of our system do we do anything anywhere near that scale. So that's why we're, you know, glad that Woodland seems receptive to doing it with four of the 12. It doesn't mean Woodland's not going to fund the other eight if Director Stollard, if the city wants to do it out of its Measure F money, but that's sort of an internal issue. And then the other thing I wanted to point out is the bus stops on Gibson. We're not being mean about it, but none of them are wheelchair accessible because they go back many, many, many years. And our thought was if you're going to make a concrete pad, then you should also make that bus stop accessible to wheelchairs. That sounds simple, but you're going right in front of people's front yards with most of these stops. So we think it would be a very difficult thing to accomplish, putting pads in people's yards. So these pads that are on the street are separate and distinct from the improvements that are actually bus stop improvements. And there's maybe, I don't know if Kristen wants to discuss it, but that's how we're drawing the line between road improvements versus that have a transit benefit versus transit exclusive improvements. Director Stollard, did I cover everything?
Madam Chair?
Please begin.
You know, yeah, this has been a bit of a protracted discussion, and so the proposal tonight is a compromise between the city and the district. That doesn't mean the district is completely happy with the city's desires, but I hope that my colleagues will respect the fact that this is a compromise. The initial request was for 12 pads on Gibson Road, a $14 million project. And any of you, all of us who are serving in cities, know the tremendous challenge of putting together the money for road projects. I presume all of you have seen some of the damage that can be done at bus stops. It's just a fact. They're heavy vehicles. They stop and they start, and they'll leave sometimes swales in the road. One of my favorite examples is Anderson Road, just south of Cobell. I ride my bike through there, and it's like surfing. Anyway, so the concern is, if we're spending this kind of money to put this road back together, Gibson being one of our oldest roads in Woodland, and having successfully competed in a complete streets project through the SACOG funding process, we certainly want the road to endure. So the engineer, you know, felt that the right thing to do was to put these concrete pads in place to protect the durability of the entire road surface. And, you know, the district did not feel this was the way we should be using our money, although we see it as our money because it comes in consequence of our city. And Davis has a similar allocation. In West Sacramento, you'll be getting one soon. I think you're about to cross 50,000 people if you haven't already. So, we feel like we have a right to appoint that money. Right now, Woodland's balance stands at $4.8 million and grows by $750,000 each year. Now, we have other projects we care about, obviously our transit center being one, and, you know, we incur certain operational costs to meet the district's objectives in terms of rolling stock and the like. But we feel this was a realistic ask. It went from 12 pads down to 4. Colleagues, I hope you'll respect our sovereignty as we see we have a right to say how we ought to be able to use the money allocated in consequence of our jurisdiction. So I hope you'll join me in voting yes on this tonight. Now, Terry, did I cover my part?
You did fine.
Okay. Well, kumbaya, huh?
All right.
And if we want to believe the Budweiser ad, we can go out and have a beer.
Only when it's COVID safe.
Oh.
All right.
Does the alcohol kill all that?
No decisions while alcohol. That's part of the board rules right there. I would like to give an opportunity for the other directors to ask questions and clarifying questions or comments on this issue. I also would like to just put out there that in the letter from the City of Woodland, it mentions that the corridor is currently served by 5 local and regional bus routes with stops in adjacent to the corridor, and I was just wondering if they were also participating in the expenditure for the pad. And I will come back to that whenever anybody has that information. For now, do the directors have questions, comments, or concerns on the item?
Madam
Chair recognizes Director Ledesma.
Thank you. I was going to say I have some comments and dialogue, but I'll wait till after public comment, please.
Okay.
Yes.
The Chair recognizes Don Saylor.
Thank you, Chair Lauren. I have a question. Maybe it's for either Terry or Hope. And my first question is about this fund source, and Director Stallard referred to it as the City of Woodland's funds. So can somebody explain to me the authorized uses of these funds and what the likely expenditures would be for if not directed to this activity? So that's my first question. Can you describe the ins and outs of the FTA Section 5307, Small Urbanized Area Funds? How do we get it? What's it? Who owns it? What's it used for?
So technically, it goes to the grant applicant, which in this case is the district. But there is also a Davis Small Urban 5307 pot, of which we apply for a piece of that. There's a Woodland 5307 pot, Small Urban, and then there's the Sacramento Large Urban. And one correction, Director Stallard, West Sac long ago hit 50,000 on population, but that's not what makes them eligible for the Sac Urban money. It's their contiguous to the Sac Urban area, which makes them eligible for a piece or a chunk of that that funding. So I just wanted to clarify that. But as far as what types of projects these funds can be spent for, a big one that we haven't resolved is a transit center at or near downtown Woodland. Another one is replacing vehicles as they get old and need to be replaced. You can also use it to subsidize your fixed route and paratransit and microtransit operating costs, which I would think would interest the city of Woodland a lot because that supplants what would be needed out of TDA funds if you can do it from this funding source. And my point is there are a lot of interesting projects these funds can be used for. We've accrued, actually it was $5.1 million in several years of Section 5307 funding. But that won't even pay for the transit center alone. And so while some people may say, oh, that's a big windfall, we can spend it on a lot of things, the dollar value of all of our potential projects is huge. So at some point, we've got to make some tough decisions, which of those projects, those capital and operating projects, should be recommended for funding from this source.
Can rolling stock be purchased?
Yes, sir, it can.
Okay, so an expenditure for these bus pads would mean that buses would be, that funds that could otherwise be directed to buses wouldn't be available at some point conceptually. Is that right?
To be fair, Director Saylor, I believe that could pretty much be said about the majority of our capital funding sources, where we feel some of these dollars could really benefit the district is their flexibility between being able to help subsidize operating expenses, which are very.
The sound cut out.
And his video. I mean, it's just frozen.
Yeah. We'll come back to his comments.
Okay, I have one more question area, and that's on the Complete Street project. So if we are proposing for an infrastructure project and under the Complete Streets, then wouldn't we include whatever was necessary to make it a complete street, including whatever infrastructure elements would be appropriate to run transit operations on that street? So why wasn't this a part of the actual proposal for the Complete Street project? And what other funding sources, for that matter, would there be available for constructing a roadway and its improvements?
Hey, just I didn't interrupt you guys. It looks like they lost internet over at the county.
So we lost Terry and
yeah, it looks like the building.
That's not a good sign.
Yeah, I have a tech message right now to find out.
Use these funds for broadband.
Convenient.
Remember, the county centers in Woodland, guys.
Excuse me, gentlemen. We're going to pause our discussion until we can get Yolo County Transportation District back online. Thank you.
I'll give them a call right now.
I think that's the bulk of my questions. Thank
you. Oh, I don't know where the rest of them are, but I'm here.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hey, well, and Kathy is the one who submits the stipend, request. So we're glad you're here, Kathy. No, I'm just kidding. We are glad you're here, but that's not why.
Thank you very much.
Nice to see you, Lucas.
Yeah, was this three times today? Three times.
Yeah, I missed catching up with you at the strategic planning meeting this afternoon. So
it's been a full day of Zoom.
And we had a really lively discussion. Yeah, it has been, hasn't it?
Yeah.
This is only number 5 for me. I can't imagine what it is for you.
trying to do a little bit of both jobs.
Just a little bit of housekeeping. When we do return to having all of our staff, I believe Alan Hirsch is waiting for a public comment. Was Mike, or was it somebody just disappeared? Uh-oh. What happened to that picture? Well, maybe other people are having difficulties. If you have a request and you can't find the hand, you could use the comment section, and I'll read it in the comments. I do have the comments up. Oh, okay, Joe, I see. There you are. And now for some polka music. Just kidding.
You got the polka dots. Let's have the polka music.
Yeah, Jose's checking out another computer. Going to try to log on.
Great. We'll just mute ourselves and wait.
Oh, I think we should be chatting. This is going to be an intermission, Jesse.
Yeah. Just remember, it's all being recorded. How's that? Legal advice there.
I'm not ashamed.
I know you're not. I just, wanted to mention.
Yeah, no. Everything's transparent here.
The best laid plans of mice and men. Gang oft agly or often go astray.
And women.
Hey, Hope, you're on here somewhere. There you are.
I'm here.
I have a question for you. If they are not able to resume, what is the correct amount of time to wait if we have to make a step like closing the meeting? I mean, we're not done with item 7 and we just have the item 8. And
they're not part of quorum, so you can move forward as much or as little as you want. You'll need both Terry and Jose, I'm sure, to answer some questions that may arise. But otherwise, the full board is here and you could move forward.
Okay. I'm going to ask then Don Seeler a question. Don, do you think the complete street question is for Woodland to answer? And do you think that he answered, that Terry answered your first question on the authorized use of the 5307 funds? Do you think that that was answered enough for us to move on in the discussion?
I think it answered yes. I think that the question that I asked about the use of the urbanized area funds was answered sufficiently to help me understand that there's quite a bit of latitude that we have with that, with those funds, and we have a number of needs for it. So that answered my question. On the Complete Streets project, I think that question probably is is one that maybe that's a Woodland question. The question is,
I'm happy to respond.
What other funds were identified, and was this Complete Streets project actually a Complete Streets project if it didn't include accommodations for transit?
Thank you. And Mr. Stollard, when you answer that, will you also include any information about the wheelchair access? Because it would seem to me that that would be part of a Complete Streets program to allow movement of the disabled. Thank you.
Of course. I'm sure everybody appreciates every project is financially constrained. You don't get everything you want. That's the way it is. And even when you qualify for a Complete Streets project, you don't get 100% of the funding. You get a portion of the funding, and you've got to have a local match. We've got at least three different sources of money in this one as to get to $14 million. So, whether it was actually mentioned specifically in the application, I can't honestly tell you. That would be city engineering staff. But we are looking to different places to meet different parts of the funding necessary. And everybody in our business knows these days, you don't get to redo a street very often. I mean, this street will probably go 50 years before it gets this kind of treatment again. So that's why the staff is as concerned as they are about making it as invulnerable as possible to the impacts of heavy vehicles like buses. I mean, trucks don't stop and start every block, stops like buses do. So anyone who's seen the wear understands the problem. With respect to why the staff didn't include the handicap accessibility, of course we would love to do that. But Gibson Road is an anomaly. It was built in the era before backyards faced onto arterials. In this case, front yards are facing onto the arterials. And basically residential sidewalks are between the front yard and the curb. So the kind of right-of-way necessary for handicap access is not there without a condemnation and those kind of issues, which we know adds a lot to these kinds of projects. We'd love to have handicap accessibility, and handicap accessibility could still be factored into this at a future time if, we have perhaps a special program designed just for that. So it's no reluctance on our part to avoid that. It's just the funding isn't there for it at this stage.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Director Stollard. Are there any other directors that want to make comments before public comment? This would be the time.
I do have questions after public comment. We should just go to public comment. I think that's what I suggest.
Moving to public comment, the chair recognizes Joe Bolte.
Hi, thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Good evening, Yolo Bus. I tend to think that the number of buses and the amount of ridership on Gibson Road doesn't justify much in the way of bus hardening infrastructure on roads. I would prefer that money go to relocation of the Woodland Transit Center downtown, moving the bus stop out by Costco much, much closer to the Costco or the Best Buy. Other capital uses. Also, thinking about the comparison of, $500,000 or $200,000 just for a couple of bus heads on one street in Woodland compared to the $1.2 million for expanded 30-minute service on the 42. That makes me think there's a huge opportunity for additional funding for operations at Yolo Bus versus lots and lots of funding for capital projects. So if we have funding that can be used for both, let's really think about where we can put that to work in expanded bus service rather than building more stuff for the buses. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Bolte. I believe Alan Hirsch has a comment.
Hi, Alan Hirsch. In the ideal world, we would have a short-range transit plan with a long-range capital budget to look at these sorts of priorities to get that would be the ideal world. We aren't in that situation. Clearly, there are some bus stops in Davis that desperately need bus pads. I can't comment on the priority of the Gibson Road stops, but clearly we need a pilot program of one or two bus stops might be good because we need some models in the district. So is there some compromise here? I mean, But clearly, we need a long-range transit plan with a long-range capital budgeting plan to prioritize these things. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Hirsch. I do not see other hands up. Are there any other hands up, Mr. Perez? You are muted, sir.
Apologies. I had to switch to my phone. We're having some internet connectivity issues here at the district offices. I don't have all of the same images up on my screen here on my phone that I did in my office, but I do not see any additional requests for comment. You noted Joe Bolte and Alan Hirsch, which were the two that I had seen prior to my loss of connectivity. And if I need to clarify any other responses or some of the questions that I may have missed, I'd be happy to do so as well.
Thank you. I think that we could move to Director Ledesma's comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I do respect the City of Woodland sovereignty. Of course I do, Director Sollard, and certainly understand the difficulty in finding the funding necessary. This request, as the staff report notes, it poses a question about how we use district money for, in essence.
Is it frozen?
Oh. Who's frozen?
Can you hear me okay, Chair?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. The request, as the staff report notes, that's to me a dangerous precedent about how the district can fund, could be part of basically a capital improvement project. If the city or one of the member agencies has a need, could we use these funds towards it? And there's no prioritization mechanism. Or no board policy that says we can use it. Certainly can, but there's a board we haven't decided. This would be deciding on a specific project. I know the compromise here is over how to use them or how much to use them, not very much how should we be using them. And I worry about this. I'm going to be very frank. West Sacramento came to the district just last month, reported on asking for bus help with bus shelters in parts of West Sacramento for, I want to say it was $100,000+, which was the district didn't have the dollars for. And which is fine. We ended up figuring out how to do it. I think Terry ended up getting it done with
Ben Steph.
Thank you. Similarly, we have a major road rehab project going on in West Sacramento where I don't believe any of the funds from YCTD are being utilized. A $22 million or thereabouts project. Director Stoller in the City of Woodland, I'm empathetic to the need of finding funding. Again, I just worry about some of the long-term uses of how we use this, and what financial impacts will have and precedent it sets for the district going forward in a time when we're heavily dependent upon to keep normal operations going upon the subsidies from the federal government, and so on. So I'm those are my concerns with it. I don't really have a question. Those are the comments I have. So I'll stop there and maybe come back once the rest of the board has a chance to comment.
Thank you, Director Ledesma. Other director comments?
Can I respond?
You may.
You know, I appreciate everybody's feelings about this. The reason I mentioned sovereignty is because these funds come to this organization because of Woodlands having exceeded 50,000 people. Davis exceeds 50,000 people. It also gets these funds, and this is the point of these funds is it has chosen. And we don't see any interruption there. I think we should be respected for having our own prerogative for how we choose to apply these funds. There's definitely a transit-related use. I mean, the bus impacts the condition of the roadway, and that's what we've chosen to do. Now, again, the engineer wanted 12 of these pads, and we've reduced it to 4. So, you know, I think, Director Ledesma, you know, you will want to put the money where you'll want to put it. And, of course, we're going to want to put some of our money towards our bus transit center. That's certainly important to us as well and other needs we have. But this is what the current thinking is at the City of Woodland. And I would respect your desire for the City of West Sacramento at such time as you present it to us. So I think we have to respect one another's jurisdictions and our own unique desires. So that's what we worked out here at our city, and it's engaged a great deal of discussion and time with the city engineer and the city manager, myself, and the transit district officials. And the staff report you see is mostly the staff language, but also some things that we asked to be in there as well. So it's now before you. At the appropriate time, I'll make a motion. Hopefully, I'll get a second. I appreciate the support of my colleagues. Thank you.
The chair recognizes Director Ferrix.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it. So a few items. I mean, I certainly sense the frustration from Director Sallard. I will say, Director Sallard, a couple things. I really appreciate you jumping back into service on this board. The reality is, for much of the past year, the City of Woodland was absent, almost entirely absent at the table from this organization in pretty much every way, shape, and form. That was really, really frustrating. You and I have had this conversation outside of this boardroom, virtual boardroom, so you already know about that. for me personally, I very much appreciate your diving right back into the service on this board. But, you know, in September 2020, when this item initially came up, we couldn't get a member of the Woodland City Council to attend these meetings. I mean, very infrequently over the course of, so say, the past year, you know, better part over, maybe potentially even over a year, but certainly the past year. So, a couple things additionally. So I think, first of all, I do have questions. I mean, if this has been cooking since September 2020, why are we first hearing about it essentially in February 2021? That's when it doesn't seem to be cooked. I mean, that's my personal opinion. So I do have several questions for folks. First, how many actual YOLO bus routes are really utilizing this corridor? The letter from the city says 5 routes or with stops on or near the road. So I'm guessing that there's not 5 YOLO bus routes on Gibson Road. That's my guess. I don't know. There's no maps. So, I mean, I was just looking on the YOLO bus website for to see what actual routes currently run up and down this stretch of potentially new rehabilitated road. That's one question. The second question I have is regarding implementation of the comprehensive operational analysis. We have gone through this process. We're in the process of where it's almost going to be completed or nearly completed, where we're going to ultimately, as a board, be instituting a bunch of changes to the schedule. What changes are going to be resulting along Gibson Road? I don't know. I mean, that's a legitimate question that I have that I would like to hear from staff. In terms of the proposed changes that we have as far as the comprehensive operational analysis is concerned. I personally, you know, I mean, I represent the city of Davis. I don't represent Woodland. Would I put the money towards this or the transit center? I personally put it towards the transit center, but that's my own personal opinion. And then I go back again to this issue of the September 2020. You know, if this item has been out there for a number of months, this is the first time this board is hearing about it. I appreciate that there's work that happens behind the scenes with staff from various agencies. But I do think, I mean, the recommendation also, I would just say, is actually, frankly, not even that clear. It just, you know, it says up at the, you know, top of, it says essentially pay for the original request is for 12. It says up at the top under the, it's recommended that the board of directors consider funding 8 pads to 4 in each location. And so I'm really not quite sure what the actual recommendation is. So I would appreciate a little bit of clarification and further answers from staff on some of the questions that I raised. Thanks.
Excellent questions.
Well, actually, I'll pause it. Madam Chair, one more thing. In future meetings, I would really like the chat function. I'm not sure that we need to have the chat function. I don't know if that's a typical for what agencies, but the chat function seems to be, I mean, just everyone's sort of running dialogue and such, so I'm not sure if that's something that we could have addressed at a potentially future meeting as well. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate your comment on the chat. I have seen the chat included in minutes, but it is disruptive to public comment. There's a reason why the directors discuss, and then there's public comment, and then there's follow-up by the directors, and this kind of blows that order out and makes it a little bit difficult. So I would like to mention that we will have changes in our next meeting, and that's something that we'll look to change for the March meeting. But Mr. Stollard, I believe you want to answer some questions.
You know, I think probably we've pretty much beat this one. You know, again, this is 5307 money that comes in consequence of the city of Woodland being over 50,000 people. So we feel we intend to use the majority of this money for our transit center, and we'll be finding other sources as well for that at the time we're able to go forward with it. Right now, we haven't even got a final location for it. So, you know, our need for these funds for this purpose is now, and it seems realistic that we should seek it now, and we have. You know, frankly, I wasn't on this board in September, so I really don't know about that, what was happening in September. It's happening now. We're going out to bid. It's on our council agenda next Tuesday night for the East Main Street. That's the first item, item B. And those are very high utilization bus pads. I think the district is supportive of those, if I understood correctly. The district is not as enthused about the Gibson Road pads, which would be 12 in all, and we're asking to use our 5307 funds for four. And it says in item A, Woodland Area Section 5307 funds. So that doesn't mean, you know, I mean, yes, colleagues, you can second guess Woodland's wishes on this, or how the funds assigned to Woodland get applied, but I would not do that to you. If Davis had us, and Davis already appoints all their money. I don't even know how they, I think they give it to Unitrans. I don't know what they do with it, but Davis has made its independent call. I don't know if it's been voted on here before it happened, but they've done that. And, you know, when West Sacramento gets their money, if they want to put it towards the VIA program or something for them that may be dislocating buses, you know, I would be inclined to support the wishes of West Sacramento. So that's my feeling about it, and I understand you may not agree with the Woodland conclusion, but I would choose to ask you to respect the Woodland conclusion. So it's just just what it is, and it's going to go one way or the other. So I'll offer the motion when you're ready to receive it, Madam Chair.
I'm ready for the motion.
Well, I respectfully ask my colleagues to approve item 7, A and B.
Do we have a second?
I would appreciate the ability for staff to respond to the multiple questions that I asked, which I did ask for some staff response from, I mean, to the questions.
That's true. Terry, you're muted. Terry, you're still muted.
How about now?
There you are.
Okay. I'd be glad to, Director Frericks. Regarding how many bus stops serve Gibson, basically we have four routes, the 210, 211, 212, and 214 that go down parts of Gibson. Plus we also have the 45 express bus that goes into Sacramento. And prior to COVID, we ran the 242 from downtown Woodland, working its way around, going down Gibson, and then out of town via 113. So, yeah, it was probably in the 5 or 6 bus range, but because of the COA and all, it's going to be probably in the neighborhood of half of that number of trips. And bear in mind that with the other half of the service. We're converting it to microtransit, so that would have much less of a need in terms of wear and tear it's going to cause on Gibson. So I don't know if that answered your questions on that particular matter.
If I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that prior to COVID, so in 2019, there was more use, and that has been reduced, and that Gibson is only having a limited amount of use at this time. But that we don't have the COA done, and we don't really know what the future holds for our routes. Is that correct?
The COA pretty much covers it, but it won't be as many trips as pre-COVID, even with the COA recommendations. So you will probably have two routes locally that'll run along there, plus whatever 45 Express we do into Sacramento. So basically three fixed routes will be going down along Gibson versus the previous fiber. Sound accurate, Jose?
That sounds accurate, yes. And ultimately,
Gary, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I believe that your quality of sound would improve if you didn't have your video on. And because it is very warped and hard to follow, I would just ask you to please turn the video camera off so that we can hear you more clearly. And then, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Please continue, Jose, wherever you are.
Sure, I turned my video off as well. Yes, Terry, that's fairly accurate, and particularly because we are finalizing the recommendations out of the YOLOGO comprehensive operational analysis. Should the final recommendations presented and adopted by our board mirror what we have developed in consultation with our consultant team? Yes, there would likely be at most three routes consistently traveling along the same Gibson corridor versus what we had prior to COVID, which was up to five. It was five pre-COVID. Regardless, the final schedules for the services that remain in effect after we adopt our operational analysis and YOLOGO study may further be modified or reduced in terms of changing the span of the service. In other words, how early it starts or how late it runs and how many trips are operated each day. At this time, what we do believe as staff is fairly accurate is that there will be less use on those roads on that corridor by our large fixed route buses. I will put a caveat to that to say that we may have increased traffic along that corridor from point-to-point service by the microtransit pilot, which we are also recommending. And so the final utilization of those locations along the existing Gibson corridor with large buses that have the most ability to impact that surface will be reduced, very likely will be reduced after implementation of the YOLOGO recommendations.
And Jose, if you'd like me to jump in, because I can see the data on this right now, and I don't know who has the ability to scroll the agenda to the table. I can talk about how the boardings per or the buses per hour serving the stop would be affected by the COA recommendations if they are approved. So this lists all 12 of the Gibson stops in question, and the issue of pushing of the asphalt at the stops actually occurs when the buses are stopping and starting. And our colleagues in Davis have found that anything above four buses serving the stop per hour leads to significant damage to the asphalt from that pushing. We see that too. At the bottom of the table, you can see East Main and Matmore. We have a lot of damage at that stop, and there are 3.1 buses per hour serving that stop. So we are seeing damage even at three buses an hour. At all of the Gibson stops, you can see that currently they're between 1.2 and 2.2 buses per hour serving the stops right now. The one that has more at Coloma is because the two loops that serve Davis right now serve Woodland right now currently overlap at that stop, so that's why it has higher numbers of activity. But I've run the numbers for what it would be under the COA, and because some of our commute routes are being discontinued and those double loops would turn into a single root loop, the numbers would change to between 1.1 and 2.2 buses per hour. Most of them would have 1.1 or 1.3 buses per hour at the stops.
If it's all right with the chair, I'd like to answer another question or two that Director Fredericks had.
Please proceed.
So, again, it is 8 stops. As Director Stallard mentioned, we really think the ones on Main Street are especially critical. The main stop that we have there in front of, Party City, is where the 42A goes by, the 45 Express goes by, and the 215 that serves the casino goes by. So there's a lot of activity. And if you're familiar with Woodland Streets, you'll know that our buses have caused quite a bit of damage at that particular stop. And then likewise, there are 3 other stops on Main Street that we're just trying to capitalize on the construction that's about to be underway to improve those stops, including a nice accessible stop near our offices as well. And so we view those as critical for us. And in the future, there may be some other stops we want to focus on, such as Director Stallard, Matt Moore, just south of Main, is sort of like your Anderson Road description in terms of the swelling going on of the asphalt. So that's the 4 stops. And then the other 4 stops are the proposed compromise for Gibson doing 1/3 of what was requested.
Madam Chair.
Please proceed. Go ahead. I have some questions myself, but I defer to you.
Terry, if you're finished, I have a couple of the – I'm troubled by the conversation that we're having and the reason I'm kind of putting the pieces together a little bit. So, one, I think that we ought to be making decisions on the basis of how do we improve transit, how do we expand ridership, how do we improve frequency, safety, reliability. I think that there's a whole other set of issues about what this fund source can be used for and how, what kind of a policy framework we should be using for making decisions of that sort. I think there's another issue of why would we want the Transportation District Board to make decisions at all on this kind of a fund. And the reason is that we are charged with making decisions on transit, you know, that are operated by the Yolo Transit Services, operated by Yolo County Transportation District. I think that there's the issue of a sovereignty of our city. We come together not to delegate or to abdicate our responsibility for working on the kinds of things we've been trying with the strategic plan and the COA. And I think we do need to be a little bit focused on that. I think that when we're just now getting into the discussion on this topic about what might be a rational criteria for determining if there was even a need for a strengthening of the roadway in the areas where buses start and stop. We just now, in the last 5 minutes, have even heard anything about some potential rational anchor for or performance standard that would make would help us make an informed decision. That's unfortunate. I think when I read the language of our staff report here, it's the language actually is a stronger recommendation for not doing this than it is for doing it. The only language that suggests that it ought to happen is language that says something about a compromise was reached or somehow it's less than or middle ground or something. Well, that's not compelling to me. So I'm finding myself not prepared to support this in its entirety. There may be some aspect of it that is supportable if we were to go through some kind of a rational framework. I know that sometimes, and frankly, sometimes engineers like to overbuild, and they do that because they want to have something for a long time into the future. But gosh, we don't know if 5 years from now those bus stops are going to be the ones that we're using anymore. So I'm not sure that this is a good investment. I'm not convinced that the overall recommendation is a sensible one to approve tonight. I'm not sure if I can be argued into supporting some aspect of it in another, in a future time. But if it was to be the case, it would probably be driven by something along the lines of the comments that we just heard about what would be the actual damage at exist at specific spots that we have measured, or what would be the standard for determining if damage was attributable to the transit operations. So yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm not at a point where I could vote in favor of the recommendation before us.
Thank you very much for your comments. I too feel that I'm not informed enough by the presentation to be compelled to support any of the work on Gibson. It doesn't seem like there's data to support that. And I'd also just like to remind all the members of the board and staff that, you know, we work very hard for vision, values, and priorities. And we are self-tasked to make decisions based on data that we are data-driven and transparent. I'm going to apologize for my tone on this. I don't have a nicer way to say this, but if I did, I would use it. But it feels like kind of like throwing spaghetti on the wall to see what sticks as far as like the expenditure of funds. And as much as, you know, I can see that need, that isn't how we have built this this deliberative body. So I'm not sure that I would be ready to move this forward either. Other comments?
I think Director Stoller raised his hand.
You know, I'm chagrined, but you know, I can't say that I appreciate the fact you all have your point of view. I appreciate the fact that I would respect your wishes for funds directed in interest of your city, and I'm disappointed that you will not respect that for my community. As far as there's two recommendations there. I get it. Gibson Road is not compelling to you, but the other one, B, I understand the staff is in agreement that is an appropriate use for that fund, those funds for that purpose. Because of the high utilization. Now, Terry, you can either say yes or no. I wish you would, because either if you say yes, maybe this group will go for B, but if you say no, then they won't go for any of it. Terry?
Jose and I have talked about this for some time, but and with Kristen, we believe that the East Main Street improvements are really important and valuable to the district. And again, if you look at the bus stops there that have high damage, you can see why we want to do this simultaneously with the other road improvements that Woodland's about to do on East Main Street. So it's a sort of a horse of a different color versus Gibson. We view the stops on East Main as having a benefit to not only the people of Woodland, but anyone else that rides along those roads on our transit services.
With that comment, I would respectfully withdraw the prior motion and move that we adopt the second recommendation with respect to East Main Street.
Is there a second for this new motion?
I'm willing to second the potential stops on sort of as recommended in subsection B for travel paths along East Main Street between East Street and Highway 113 overpass.
And then I would just like to mention that at the beginning of the meeting, I stated that we have an all in favor that would be just the ayes, and then opposed would be you would say your last name and oppose for this motion. So
Could I discuss
more? Adam Kerr, I have a process question, yeah. And I would ask Hope to weigh in. I think I don't know that I haven't experienced any other board that is doing a roll call this way. It's been by calling each individual member's name. I'm just not personally not aware of other government agencies in California operating that way right now. So, I mean, including like most recently SACOG board meeting where we do have to go through sadly a 31 member roll call every single time we want to. I'm hopeful that perhaps Hope or somebody can illuminate this a little bit more, and hopefully we can just do it the way you're suggesting, but I'm just personally not aware of it. Thank you.
Director Frerix, each board can set its sort of parliamentary practices, and Chair Loren came forward with the idea of doing this after seeing it in action, I believe. Because there's only five members, and you're required to oppose with your name, it is very clear the votes for and against. So in that sense, I was comfortable with it. But again, there is no rule, and so if this board wished to be called by name, that certainly would be possible. It was intended as a way to not speed the meeting along, but make sure we made the best use of our time.
Great. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. It's very helpful.
Madam Chair, if I may have a just clarifying, we've had a motion withdrawn, a motion made, and a second motion made, amended. I just want to be clear on kind of there's two items to consider. A, the Gibson Road one is what's been eliminated by Director Stallard for 180, but the $378,000 on East Main does now have a motion in the second. That's the amended version. Am I correct?
You're correct.
Okay. So if I may ask some clarifying questions on this part, because.
Please.
Yeah, thank you. On the budget impact, I just want to be clear, because the Concert 2 Path of Travel project has not been finalized pending finalization of costs. In page, I think it's 24, the staff report. So, is this, I'm going to ask staff question one is around, is 378 an estimated number? Is that the budgeted amount that's being contemplated?
Through the chair.
I'm sorry, if I can finish. Go ahead.
Director Ledesma, the $378,000 number came from the public work staff from the city of Woodland, and there's an engineer's estimate that's in the board packet showing the breakdown of that dollar amount. So we were responding specifically to what they had presented to us. So that's on page 26 of your board packet. And the reason it's so much more expensive is you're talking about some major curb, gutter, and sidewalk improvements that need to happen, in particular at our main bus stop on East Main Street across from Party City.
Okay. And then as far as the usage of these funds, because they're district, they're appropriated to the district, and while we all certainly can influence and ask for things to this district that benefit our cities or our agencies or constituents one way or the other, whether it's increase in ridership or funding for free youth bus fares, whatever we do. I'm trying to recall in this case where dollars have we done this before to where we've allocated dollars towards a capital improvement project of a city?
Certainly. Yes, we've done it. Most of our budgets do have 5307 monies from the different jurisdictions that make up the total. So we have done it, and we go through a separate grant application process, which is what this recommendation was tied to, is making sure it's programmed and that it's applied for. But this particular project for 378 is currently not in the existing budget, Director Ledesma. So moving forward, depending on the timing of the construction, it'll either need to be amended into the current year or into the subsequent year. But it's our understanding, Director Stallard, I believe groundbreaking is expected this spring for the East Main Street improvements.
And I'm sorry, Director Stallard, if you want to answer that.
No. It's going out to bid. We are approving going out to bid at our February 16th council meeting. So it's timely to approve this if you're of a mind to do so. I mean, you can see there's 88 bus trips a day through there. It's at the bottom of the chart. So it's a major impact.
Do we have, it's a major impact to your project. What I'm trying to get at is what won't be funded as a result of this?
You mean if you don't approve it?
I'm sorry, Mr. Seller. This is a question for staff.
Oh,
I'm trying to figure out if this isn't funded, if we go forward with this, are there projects that won't be funded as a result from the district that we're planning on?
Director Ledesma, there's $4.8 million in 5307 funds that have not been programmed. And that's net of the 378, by the way. So it's $5.1 million and some change. So we still need to go through the process and present to your board and to Woodland the types of projects that these funds are eligible for, so an informed decision can be made with regard to how that remaining $4.8 million will be spent.
But these funds are 5307 funds which come in consequence of the city of Woodland exceeding 50,000 people. So they generally, they should go to Woodland, projects of interest to Woodland, which could be our transit center, which is certainly important to us, as well as certainly this, the high impact bus stop on Gibson. I'm receiving Main Street at Matmore.
Oh, I just have a comment on the budget. If we have a budget item and we have a plan to budget, and then a city comes to us as a special district and says, we have this thing we didn't tell you about, but we want to do it and we want to use these funds, and our meeting is in a couple days, so you need to approve it. I recognize my informality of my explanation, but I still go back to the comments from Supervisor Saylor on, what is our process? And we do have a motion that is out, and this is discussion on that motion, but I still have questions. I still feel like there's information that we don't have.
Madam Chair, if I could, Saylor, for a couple
please.
Of comments. I think that we should have a capital plan, an investment, a programming, a discussion of what these funds are used for. I think that Woodland Transit District is one. I think equipment and vehicles, rolling stock is another. I think that we do have, this is district funds, and this is not a Woodland only decision. It is a Yolo County Transportation District Board decision. So I just want to make that point that this is a district decision on the use of these funds, and we should have a plan that is driven by the best interest of the entire district. I will say that I wish that we had that, but I'm looking now at this table that's before us, and I see one stop identified on West Main, or East Main, excuse me. I don't see four. I see the one stop that's listed as having 3.1 buses per hour. I hear from our staff that four is the level at which the damage needs to be addressed. I've heard our staff say that the East Main stops are critical, but I only see one of them here. So I think we're sort of a half-baked thing here. We don't know We don't have the whole picture of our fund source and the plans for it. We don't have a whole picture of what the recommendation would support. I feel like we're into a bit of friction here about the decision making authority and autonomy of one of our member jurisdictions and the role of the board itself. And I think that's out of place. But I don't see a compelling need to do this particular project. And frankly, I think it diminishes our ability to address the strategic vision and goals that we've been trying to work together on for the past 18 months or so. So I would request either, I'm going to vote against the motion, but I would request if this is something that some feel is still necessary, that it come back with a more complete, focused presentation on exactly the issue that we're making a decision on and what consequences that decision would have on other objectives and opportunities that we ought to be pursuing as a district. Thank you, and I apologize if that's too harsh. It wasn't intended to be. It's simply we are at a decision point and need to be clear.
Mr. Carr.
Madam Chair, members. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Terry.
Who'd you recognize?
Go ahead, Terry.
The East Main Street improvements, three of them are along the same stretch, so it's the same number of buses that go by all three of those stops. So they're all on the south side of Main Street, basically starting just, east of the Jack in the Box store there right at Main and East Street. One is near there. One is our major transit stop by Party City. And one is by what's called the California Market, kitty corner from us. So the same number of buses go by all three of those stops.
But Terry, you mentioned that this particular spot had damage that you've observed. Are the others that way? Have we done an assessment of the actual impact on these on the road? Maybe that's not before us. Even the stops you're telling me now verbally are not included. As far as I can tell, maybe I'm wrong. It's someplace in the staff report I haven't found it.
You're correct, Director Saylor. What we were trying to show is another stop by comparison that's got high damage done to it, and it's not among those four stops. It's actually on Matmore that I referred to earlier. That was just for comparison purposes versus Gibson. But extensive damage, again, at the main bus stop on East Main Street. And then the other two stops, bear in mind they're going to be resurfacing the entire stretch of East Main Street. Now is the time to make those improvements. And then lastly, we're finally going to get a bus turnout near us going the opposite direction, which is really important for a safe egress and access to our facility.
The chair recognizes Mr. Ferrix.
Yeah, I don't want to belabor it any more than it already has. A couple quick things, just to particularly to respond to Director Saylor. One item, which is, you know, the reference about the sort of that it doesn't meet the sort of threshold of buses per hour. That's a City of Davis current, you know, standard. I'm not sure that that's the hard and fast, national or international transit rule. So anyway, just putting that out there. It's not a bad one, but it's just the City of Davis threshold. As it has been mentioned by a couple of folks, particularly from the staff level, there you can see the issues that are already in operation when there are basically three buses per hour serving a stop, or between three and four, and that this damage exists. I'm primarily supportive of this recommendation because the staff is recommending it and saying that it's and it's acceptable usage of funds. I think the Gibson Road, me personally, no, I don't support it, and that's why I said, acknowledged that earlier on, and for a variety of reasons that we all raised. But there's a motion on the floor, some moved and seconded on just the Main Street stops. You know, I think we should just, you know, respectfully move to the vote, and we'll see how things end up. Thanks so much for your consideration, Madam Chair.
Seeing no other comments or substitute motions, I'm going to do a roll call vote on this because there have been so many different comments, and it's a hairy item. So the motion is to approve the item B portion of item 7, $378,200 in Woodland area, section 5307 funds for 4 bus path of travel pad improvements along East Main Street between East Street and Highway 13 overpass. And I believe that that's everything.
Madam Chair, can we just confirm if item 2 was meant to be included? I'm sorry to interrupt this motion.
No, I wasn't sure either.
Okay.
This is direct staff to work with the City of Woodland, so that would be included? Okay, so it's B and item 2.
I think the intention for item 2, Madam Chair, was Gibson, if we were going down to 4 pads on Gibson to work with the city staff. So that can drop off the recommendation.
We're going to do all in favor in a roll call vote. Mr. Perez.
Great. City of Davis.
Aye.
City of West Sacramento.
Aye.
City of Winters.
Nay.
City of Woodland?
Aye.
County of Yolo?
No.
Motion passes.
Thank you all for considering this. I know it's been painful to you. It's certainly been painful to me.
May I make a...
Yes. Chair recognizes Director Legesta.
Thank you. I'm going to ask the chair and vice chair, I was supportive of that, but going forward, that we have some policy discussion alignment along these lines around, these items, how they come back and in what condition they come back. I think everyone had a reluctance around this for some reason or another. And I stand by my vote, but I also am conscious of the fact that we have tried to work in concert on vision and values. And I didn't get a chance to say it before the vote because I respect my colleagues who want to get to the vote. But we need a better clarity from staff and participating agencies about these types of votes going forward, especially on these types of usage issues. It's just, this process of getting it was just put the board in a very, very tough predicament to have to get through this. And I just want to make that statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Desma. Comment by Director Ferrix.
Yeah, just to add on to that, I appreciate your comments, Director Ledesma. I would also say that, you know, in a situation like this, I think two parts. One, if this is something that's come up starting in September of last year, a couple of meetings ago, I raised the issue about the need for extending the emergency authority of the executive director. And this is, feel an exact type of reason why I had concerns about that. Like, I have a lot of faith in the staff of the organization. That's not a question, but it's this issue of, you know, if this is originally coming up in September, like, I feel like there's and it's been worked through in various iterations up through now. I feel like it's incumbent, frankly, upon staff to sort of engage in conversations with the board if they know this is potentially going to be a, you know, sticky situation, and have some of those conversations, in sort of a one-by-one situation with different board members. I'm not sure. I'm not, you know, in the leadership of the board, so I don't know if what kinds of back, you know, discussions the chair and the vice chair may have had with the staff about sort of the sort of particulars of this situation. But it just seems like this could have attempted to be worked out, you know, and it may, by, in terms of at the staff level, when not, you know, and especially I think also in that it doesn't. The recommendation really didn't seem exactly entirely, you know, either positive or entirely supportive. So to earlier director's comments or observations. And then lastly, I mean, the thing I think is the saddest about this situation is where we find ourselves forced to be in a situation where the one jurisdiction, in this case, the city of Woodland, has a vote, pending vote at their city council meeting a week from now, where we are forced to make a decision tonight because of the time frame which we find ourselves in. That I find completely unacceptable. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Director Ferrix. Any other comments, or we would be pleased to move on to item 8. All right. Item 8 is an update on the Comprehensive Operational Analysis Assessment Study, YOLO GO, and it will be presented by Deputy Perez.
Thank you, Madam Chair Loren, and members of the board. Always a pleasure. I aim to be pretty focused on this update on the YOLO GO project. Attached to the staff report, and that is primarily what this is just an update on that project. Attached to the staff report is a summary provided by our subconsultant, AIM Consulting, who is leading the outreach phase, the final outreach phase of this YOLO GO study, and it has been going very well. We launched the outreach as a virtual workshop beginning January 14th, 2021, and that same evening I presented to the Davis Bicycle and Transportation Street Safety Commission, or BTSSC, and informed them of the opening of the workshop. Received great feedback at that discussion from both the commission members as well as members of the public. And one of these stronger suggestions was to further consider extending the response timeframe. Originally, outreach was to be concluded on February 4th, giving a three-week period in which folks could participate. We did extend and subsequently notice and inform through various means, email, messages on board the buses, hard copy flyers and announcements that we extended participation through February 26th of 2021. As of February 1st, we had a total of 123 participants. And we continue our own efforts to supplement and expand on the outreach awareness completed by AIM. They emailed directly all of the project stakeholder and stakeholder agencies throughout that we've collected throughout this intense YOLO GO project. In addition, staff sent out emails to our email distribution or listserv groups, various social media postings, notices on our website, as well as hard copy seat drops on board our paratransit and microtransit vehicles to help bridge that digital divide. We are also accepting phone calls from interested participants and completing surveys that way if they don't have the ability to view the workshop through other means, say a computer or a tablet. And so we are doing a number of different efforts, and we will continue to do a number of different awareness and outreach efforts in this final push towards getting public feedback to complete YOLO GO. That has been the primary focus of our efforts since last we updated the board. In addition to outreach, awareness and data collection, staff is also working with the Dan Boyle and Associates team to finalize the other aspects of YOLO GO, including financial recommendations and structuring administrative organizational structures as well as developing and refining those key performance triggers or metrics that are going to be so important to our study as we move forward into the implementation phase and monitoring phase. That will help the district quantify and kind of use objective metrics, not only objective metrics, but some of those to determine when services that are implemented or launched through the YOLO GO process and recommendations, when they should be further expanded, modified, or changed. And again, that touches on what we've already discussed this evening about
trying to standardize our procedures, policies, and practices while adhering to the district's adopted vision, values, and priorities, making sure that we are continually monitoring, improving, and moving forward, which is one of the key goals of this YOLO project. With that, I'm happy to elaborate on anything presented in the staff report or to clarify any questions on YOLOGO, if anything comes up at the board's leisure or desire.
I would entertain any comments by directors, but my personal comment on this is this is really taking a long time, and I understand we have a pandemic and we have reasons for postponing things, but my gosh, let's move on. Let's get this done and use the information. Do the directors have comments on this presentation? Seeing none, I will open to public comment. And in public comment, I recognize Mr. Barnbaum has his hand up. You have 2 minutes.
Great. Thank you, Chair Lauren, members of the board and staff in the audience that's still left in the meeting. I hear you out, Chair Lauren. I have direct experience on working on projects like this, most recently the SACRT Forward project, and that took itself a couple of years. There were a lot of outreach sessions at community centers, libraries, and the like. There was some online outreach done for that project by AIM Consulting, but because that project was at a time and it concluded and got approved before a pandemic even began and it was implemented and is now 17 months old, with the route implementations taking place back 17 months ago. You know, we are in just different times right now. But I want to thank, on the social media aspect, a tweet by YOLO Bus, and it was quote tweeted, by Director Ledesma. And I did click on the link and participated, via Twitter, to the website and answered the survey questions via SurveyMonkey that, is on rideyolobus.com by, the consulting team in Sacramento. Again, AIM Consulting, I'm very familiar with them. Their office is on J Street, and I've worked with them on, projects similar to this in the past, including SACRT Forward. But yeah, like you, I would be ready to hopefully, if this can be moved up to get approval from the board in March, I would be so ready to help you implement it.
Thank you, Mr. Barnbaum. March sounds great. Other comments? Any other public comments? Any other comments by board members?
Yes. Madam Chair, I just
recognize Mr. Ledesma.
Thank you. Two things. One is, first of all, I understand, Jose, thanks for the update, and I understand WestSAC had nothing to do with my tweet, I'm sure, but I understand WestSAC. We received a lot of feedback from WestSAC. I thought I'd ask on the last workshop to try and get this in front of our transportation mobility commission. And I think staff may have reached out to you today, to see if that we can make that happen. So again, I'd ask if that could still happen. I don't think they're meeting in February, which might set it back, but I'd ask at least see if we can fit that in. It's an important commission in our community. Secondly, I agree with the chair that we just need to tie this up. And make sure we get to the conclusion and implementation. We have other long-range planning that's going on that we kind of need to move on. So thank you.
And thank you, Charlie. And we have heard from your staff at the City of West Sacramento regarding that commission meeting, and we have tentatively agreed to that and have committed to making a presentation if they'll still have us, I believe, for their March 1st meeting.
And we will present the necessary materials to be included as part of that agenda and packet.
Thank you, Mr. Paris. Any other comments? Seeing none, we can move to item number 9. It's the consideration of the director's report. Before we do, I just have one thing to say, going back to the item, the contentious item of the night, and that is that, you know, we are a collaborative board. We are a interdependent districts. We champion each other. We champion the work that we're doing for the district of transportation. We work in concert and with respect. And being called on individually to support one city over the district isn't usually the way that that we address one another. And we have our visions and values because we are value driven. And if that's the tone I would like to support, nurture, and return to. But I had to say that. So I hope that you hear me, board. All right. With that, item number 9.
I'll try to be as laser as possible. Under oral report, I cannot not discuss the following two things. One, sometime between January 18th and the 19th in West Sacramento, a person that was apparently homeless was found deceased at a bus shelter. We've been working with the our chair, vice chair, and I let Director Ledesma know several days back. We're working with the city police department and our contractors, drivers, to see if anybody can identify a potential suspect. So far, no results yet. But I do want to stress that homelessness is a big issue, and it's not just that one bus stop. We run across this numerous times throughout our region, and at some point we may want to touch on it in more detail with your board, but it's a sad scenario. A person was seen in video days before. There was a police welfare check done on her, and then about a day or two later is when this event apparently occurred. So we're working with the city of West Sac on it. The other thing I want to make a mention of, which is important, is we had a difficult situation where a bus rider traveling basically from Sacramento towards Davis passed away about 8 minutes into their bus ride. But it was not until about an hour later that it was discovered that the person was deceased. And that was over at the Memorial Union, Director Frerichs. That's where they came across the deceased person. The driver was trained in CPR, did not do the CPR, but it seemed somewhat obvious the person was deceased long before that bus ever got to the MU. But it's raising some issues. We'll go over with our bus contractor. But at the end of the day, the driver has to focus on driving the bus, not doing, you know, health checks on passengers. It was just a sad situation and caused a lot of grief on a lot of people's parts. Any questions on that issue? Then moving along quickly, Martha Guerrero is apparently she's the alternate for the city of West Sacramento, and Myra Vega is the alternate for the city of Woodland. So I'm just bringing that to your attention. We've already talked about what projects we nominated for funding under the SACOG process. That's not finalized, although we understand that one of the projects was turned down. It won't be recommended by them. We've also been approached by the Yolo County Children's Alliance to see what we can do about providing them with tickets for their clients to ride for free. Just as a reminder, youth age up to 18 can ride Yolo Bus for free already. So I guess what we're talking about would be their parents or caretakers being included. So we're working on it at the staff level. We may come up with a separate process for having such matters considered so we don't hit you with onesie twosies just like we did with the Woodland project issue. But just be aware that the requests have been made for us to be issuing free ride tickets. COVID-19, not much more to report on that outside of the fact that there was one driver who apparently was pretty ill having contracted COVID. That's not back yet to driving the bus. Cache Creek, we already talked about it a little bit. We'll be staying in close touch with our chair and vice chair as well as the casino and our legal counsel as we move forward. We need to come up with a proposed agreement that addresses things like when do we pull service back, when do we add service, what steps are necessary. And I need to reiterate, it's the district that makes the decision, not the casino. And, you know, we're more than glad to work with the casino, but at the end of the day, it's got our name on it, that bus when it's going up and down the highway there. Causeway Connection, not too much to say on that other than the fact that Sacramento Regional Transit staff are anxious for us to consider beefing up from the 15 trips a day by each operator to 26 trips a day by this coming September. I advise great caution in doing it. We don't have the ridership to justify it, but I know they're anxious on the Sacramento side to get the ball rolling, so to speak, on it. And I just think it's premature for us to be adding on a service that's carrying less than, you know, two or three people a trip. Regarding Sacramento Regional Transit, just know that Chair Steve Miller and Vice Chair Patrick Kennedy are now on the 2x2+2 committee meeting, which also involves currently directors Ledesma and Frericks, who were the past two chairs on the YCTED board. So I'm just letting you know that that appointment was done at the January RT board meeting. The agreements with RT, they're still in progress. I've been working with them and Hope on these particular agreements. The ball is in Sacramento's court. You know, hopefully we're going to finally get resolution on both of these items in the next month or so. Monthly progress reports, I gave a short narrative on that. If you want to spend more time on it, you're more than welcome to ask questions. But there are three primary areas that the board wanted me to focus on. And one of them being coming out with a succession plan this spring for the district, which we're working on. For your information, we are supposed to have, 11 positions. We've kept one vacant because we were concerned whether we could justify filling it. And since then, we have had another employee move to greener pastures closer to her home up north. So we currently have two vacancies at YCTD. So just be aware, we're doing a whole lot of things with just 9 in-house employees currently. And then lastly, I'll make a mention is the financial report as well as the preliminary long-range board meeting calendar. It's kind of anemic after June. We'll be adding things to it. And if your board members have anything specific they want us to consider, we're more than glad to put it on the long-range meeting calendar. You've got the ridership reports. You've got the financial report, too, in the back of the board packet. And we can certainly go through it, but we're under budget on expenses and tracking better with revenues now. But what you have are the financials, which Janice did for me through the end of December.
This is
Thank you.
Any questions?
Are there questions from the board?
Madam Chair, this is Director Ferrix. I think there might be a question from public, but the chat is disabled. And I appreciate the chat was disabled, but I believe that there might be a question from the public. I don't know if they're able to have the ability to raise their hand or not, but anyway, just I'm hearing that.
I will just ask Joe Bolt, do you have any questions?
Director Bassett, did you say one of the SACOG grants was rejected? I may not have heard you correctly. And if you did, can you clarify which one?
Sure. This is what we're hearing from SACOG staff, but it basically was the $200,000 in community design money for the engineering and design of the crossover from the Main Street bus stop over to our offices. We still have to get our people, especially those in wheelchairs, over that grade safely. We put in for an application for $200,000 for that, but they called and talked to Jose and basically explained why they were not recommending pursuing that particular project at this time. And one other thing I do want to give a gentle lecture to the entire board for. It's been very frustrating this last SACOG go-around. It's not SACOG's fault, but in the past we used to have a lot of mutual support where jurisdictions would support one another by writing letters of support for grant applications to SACOG. That's not so much the case anymore. It's sort of everybody's on their own, and what we would think would be a no-brainer to get a support letter, in several cases, we couldn't get one from a jurisdiction. It wasn't coming at the elected level. It was coming from the lower staff level. But I found that very frustrating that we couldn't get more universal bilateral support for each of those projects.
The chair recognizes Mr. Perps.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, so thank you for telling us, Terry, about this now. I mean, you know, if you would have cared to bring this up, you know, at the time, I certainly would have attempted to help facilitate a support letter from at least the jurisdiction that I represent. So I think we would be, that's typically historically been the situation, and I don't understand why it is any different this sort of go around, but I'm not hearing about it until this evening, so unfortunately can't help with the letter submission after the fact.
Well, and on the bright side, we were getting letters of support from some jurisdictions on some projects, and at the end of the day, we had to move forward with what we had. We tried to write as many letters of support as we could for projects that were nominated.
Does the board have any other questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, that concludes our regular agenda items. Seeing there's no more business to conduct, this concludes the meeting of the Yolo County Transportation District at 9:11 p.m., and our regular board meeting is scheduled for 7 p.m. on March 8th. Thank you for participating. We generally have a feeling of kumbaya and camaraderie, and many of us might not be feeling that right now, and you know, we have some work to do on that, and we will work to have an agenda that is clear, concise, and respects the work that we have to do, and more camaraderie. Thank you very much for being here, for spending your Monday night with us, and I'll see you in a month.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, everyone.